So good afternoon. It's Monday, March 3rd. A quorum is present. Minnesota said, Senate Education Policy Committee will come to order. We have three bills today. And the first one is Senator Rarick's Senate File 1979. Senator Rarick, to your bill, and have at it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Senate File 1979 is a form of a bill that has been around the Capitol here for a number of years and has had a number of different chief authors in both chambers. What is in front of us today is a bit different than what we've seen in the past, but basically the concept of the bill is a prohibition of building of school facilities on top of an old landfill site. The difference is in the past there was some reporting and such that needed to be done that was generating a sizable fiscal note. So in this iteration of the bill, that has been removed. So it is just a prohibition going forward of any facilities being built on a landfill site for part of our schools. With that, Mr. Chair, I have the advocate who has been working on this from its inception here, and I will turn the testimony over to him because he can speak to it much better than I can.
Thank you, Senator. Larry Leno, introduce yourself for the record. Make sure you sign in.
Yeah, thank you, committee. My name is Larry Leno. I'm just coming as an individual. I'm just pretty passionate about getting this bill moved forward. I think I was 59 when I first came and tried to prohibit a school from being built on a dump. I'm now 73. I'm running out of time here. I'd like to get her done. That being said, I'd like to move forward. I want to thank all you members up here taking the time to listen. I know some of you have heard me before. I first got involved after I received a phone call from my daughter informing me that my grandson had a compromised immune system and that his condition may be terminal. My hope is that no parent or grandparent will ever get that call. I can assure that when it's your family member, you will not feel like a statistic nor a coincidence. Since this bill was first introduced 14 years ago, I've undergone both surgery, radiation, and chemical intervention to prevent cancer or treat cancer. Rest assured, the most cost-effective method to prevent and cure cancer is early prevention to cancerous environments, awareness of hidden dangers once determined that a human risk exists, and opportunity for early detection that comes with the knowledge of one's surroundings. Currently, I've not found any state statute prohibiting the siting of a school from being sited near existing or former closed landfills. It is left up to the local city and township zoning code. As a city of Grant, where I reside as a former planning commissioner and city council member, only an ordinance prohibiting a landfill from being built within 4,500 feet to any public or private school exists. Ironically, it has no zoning ordinance from building a new school from being built near an existing or former closed landfill or brownfield. According to PITS, People Investigating Toxic Sites, California is the number one state with schools located near toxic dump sites. Minnesota is number two in the country with schools near toxic dump sites. Passing this legislation will prevent that. So as I said, 14 years ago, when I got involved in post-siting a school, I first contacted Aaron Brockovich. And we were on a conference call with, at that time, Governor Dayton, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and myself. And one of the questions that was asked was, what is Aaron Brockovich's concern about Wildwood Elementary? And at that time I said, Aaron Brockovich is not concerned about Wildwood Elementary if not built on a former Superfund site. She said at that time, if they're not willing to listen to us now, they will listen to us in 10 to 18 years when these diseases come forward, because sometimes that's what it takes. They relied on it. Well, I also spoke to the local school board, the Pollution Control Agency, Department of Health, Department of Education, Attorney General's Office, Department of Labor and Industry, and the Rice Creek Watershed. Let me assure you that each one of them gave approval to site a school on a former Superfund site with the statement that they will hold no liability or responsibility for doing that. It's simply up to the local city council that actually issues a permit, which is three members, and that's why we're asking the state to go forward. They relied on the school district hires the environmental consultant of their choice, and the one they said, we are often hired for the most high-risk properties when necessary can obtain the appropriate insurance letters from the state parents are parents are the only one liable for their children's health. That's why I'm asking for that. On October of 23, Fox 9 News did a article in their news cast stating that Matamita High School, well, they hosted a spike leukemia night on behalf of young cancer students. So they've got a high incidence of cancer-related deals. And in 23, when I first came to you, you know, 13 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, that's exactly what this cancer took to, you know, come forward. Unfortunately, Thursday of this week, a former Matamita student who has passed away after battling acute myeloid leukemia is being put to rest. So that's the importance of this. And keep in mind, as Erin Brockovich gave her warning, she says, no government agency is coming back and monitoring these kids. She can give you another example of 30 kids that were to go to their 20-year class reunion that couldn't make it because 30 of those had the same brain cancer, and the only common denominator is they went to a school located next to a dump site. My hope is that the state here will put together a bill prohibiting a dump being built within a quarter of a mile. It will not cost the state anything if they don't put a dump within that quarter mile, and it will not require any environmental study if not within a quarter mile. Beyond that, yes, they would still probably have to do a phase one, phase two study, but within this quarter mile parameter, it has no fiscal note or environmental impact. That being said, the Minnesota, or the National Environmental Protection Agency gives all kinds of language on citing schools on near dumps, but it's only a recommendation. And so I ask that this body put in the very minimum. As we know, as elected officials up here, and I've sworn to do the same thing, your main goal is to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the children. So at that time, I'm open for any questions, and I'd ask that this body move this forward.
Members, questions? Senator Abler.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chair. It's interesting that three of the co-authors are on this committee, so it's a pretty friendly committee. I think it's a great idea. I don't know why we keep debating it. When the time comes, if this is moving, I'd be happy to make the motion. So, thank you.
Members, more questions? Any? Senator Kunesh.
Thank you. And I know I authored this bill in the past, and I'm a co-author on this bill. I do have to say I did hear from one of my communities that has concerns where we live up in the St. Anthony, New Brighton area. It used to be the feedlots for cattle and all of those things connected to feedlots. But it was also the dumping ground for Minneapolis. So we have a lot of places where, like when buildings were demolished, they were just dumped up there. And there are homes and there are residences that to this day, especially in the spring, things will start to emerge from the ground and that sort of thing. we're not a Superfund area, but there are parts of the community that are built on, you know, perhaps unsafe grounds. So my one question to you is there anything in this bill that would prohibit if a school that is really landlocked, so they couldn't expand over here or over there, but they would have to expand on their existing site, would they be able to go through some kind of a system to ascertain whether that site is there, and would there be any prohibition of them building onto the buildings that are already there?
Senator Kunesh, that's a very good question. We're looking at construction of new school sites. So that's kind of, I think that's what it says in the language, new schools. The expansion, I'm not 100% sure, but most of these are brownfields. Those would be an old existing. Minnesota Pollution Agency has this document in its existence for most of these sites. Mm-hmm. They could review it at that time. I know on this particular school in 2010, Matamidi School District said in the event that Wildwood Elementary is to be, the old school to be torn down and rebuilt, it said it should be put on the existing old other O.H. Anderson Elementary School, a safe, suitable site. Mm-hmm. Yet the school district chose to go on a former Minnesota Pollution Control Agency site, and some will say that this was not a Minnesota Superfund site. It's actually one of the first in the country that got put into a VIC program, a voluntary incentive cleanup program, which was simply to put a 2-foot cap of clay on top. So if your school that's existing and they have no big histories of illnesses, but I would guard to ask, is the Minnesota Department of Health looking at all the absences and what they're caused? Chances are you've got a pretty long history. I remember talking to Senator Clausen several years ago when I asked to have this bill, and he says, am I safe? And I showed him the 12 schools that are listed as considered toxic sites in the state. He said, Sunnyside Elementary, he said, my goodness, my aunt taught there. She said she passed away in her mid-40s, and so did four members in that office. Mm. She said they always felt it was something, and he also authored onto that bill, like I said, 10, 12 years ago. You know, so if that is a safe site, and the MPC says there isn't, I'm not sure that an expansion on that would be the worst-case scenario. But they've got a history, but I would ask if they go back and look at the incidents of people getting sick and why their absences are, and has anybody tracked them once they've left that school district? Because that's what this prevents. These illnesses may not show their concerns till, you know, 10 to 18 years later, such as the 30 girls out there. You all know about Love Canal. I say we err on the side of caution. There are safer places out there. Thank you.
Thank you for your answer.
Thank you, Senator. Anybody else? Senator Rarick, thanks for listening to your final comments. I just want to thank you. It's wonderful to see bipartisan bills coming, you know, to this committee. So thank you for working hard to make sure that happens. Mr. Leneux, 14 years, you'll be 87 if we have to deal with this for 14 more years. You can hang in there that
sure
long.
I'm pretty sure after, you know, going through a major heart attack and cancer earlier, I'm probably not going to make it to that point. So
well,
I'd rather move it forward now than wait.
Well, then we'll give you something else to work on.
Thank you.
I just want to, maybe we can talk about this offline, but I do want to parrot what Senator Kunesh said about new or additions to current high schools, and I know the intent of the language was no new schools, but if a school district does want to add on, maybe they could be somehow exempt from this bill. So if you want to work with me on that, I'd be happy to. But you're the author, so you can do whatever you want. But just some friendly advice from two of your colleagues. And final comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I didn't get it in. Someone who was supposed to be in person to testify was unable to make it. So there is a written testimony from that person that was handed out. We wanted to make sure people were aware of that. I do appreciate the question, and I was looking at the language. Happy to work with folks to, if there are some things that we can work with staff to kind of tidy up and make sure the language does what we're hoping to. Definitely willing to have those discussions. So. Yeah, I appreciate the committee's time and for hearing the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Abler, do you want to make a motion to lay the bill over for possible inclusion?
I'll make the motion to whatever the will of the chair is.
Yes, thank you. Okay, all those in favor say aye. Aye. All those opposed? Okay, we don't have to vote on it. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next up, two bills by Senator Kunesh. Senate file 1404 is up first. The senator has three testifiers, and we... Whenever you're ready, Senator.
Not to mess your schedule up, but I have the drummers here, the drum bill. Is that okay if we switch to the drum bill? I wasn't paying attention.
Absolutely.
Beg your pardon.
We're changing the order to Senate file 1405 first, and the two testifiers, make sure you identify yourselves and sign in when you're after you're done. And Senator Kunesh, to your bill.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and members. Today we have in front of you Senate File 1405. This is a bill to allow American Indian drumming at high school graduation ceremonies if an American Indian parent committee or American Indian student organization requests one. We have, on my right, I have Chief Executive Virgil Wind of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe and high school student Bella Eubanks. They're both here to share their story and experience about what happened last year at the Hinckley Finlayson School Board when they voted to prohibit a drum honoring song last year. The school's decision really had negative reverberations through the local community and across the state, and it was often felt as a shameful discriminatory action against one of the largest graduating classes of Native students in the school's history. And I just want to pause there for a minute and remind everyone that our Native kids have had the largest disparities in education for many historic reasons. The boarding schools, the lack of investment in their communities, in their schools, in propping them up to reach those achievement marks. And so when there is an opportunity to celebrate them, I think it's really important that we do that. These kids attended classes, they spent hours on their homework, they passed their exams, they had pep rallies and other school activities, and this unique class of Native kids were denied just 5 minutes of a cultural expression for, you know, really kind of whatever reason. For our Indigenous youth, it's really important to know that drumming holds immense significance in a sacred practice that represents to them and to me the heartbeat of Mother Earth. And if you've ever been to a powwow or if you've ever listened to drumming, you will actually find that your heartbeat begins to match the drum beats. And it connects them to their cultural heritage, to their ancestors, their spiritual identity, and often serves as a tool for healing, a tool for community building, which is why drumming is so important in this instance, because it's really not just for the Native kids, it is for the community. It's a way to honor and expand their own knowledge of that sense of belonging through shared rhythms and through ceremonies. And so with that, I would like to invite both of my testifiers here to speak, and really appreciate the opportunity to share this with you. And so with that, Chief Executive Wind, would you like to begin?
Is it on?
Yep.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the Education Policy Committee. My name is Virgil Wind. I am the Chief Executive of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. And I come sharing a unique perspective of sitting on our local public school board for a number of years as chairman at Onamia Public Schools. Today's conversation will be about Hinckley and what happened there. But I come with the perspective of integrating, you know, this act into a school already. So if you have any questions after I give my testimony here, I'm happy to help. And I would also like to share some numbers that I believe because of this have positively impacted our students. First and foremost, I would like to extend my gratitude to Senator Mary Kunis for introducing this legislation. The legislative proposal before you, Senate File 1405, addresses an incident that occurred last year in Hinckley. Because of a misguided decision by the Hinckley-Finlayson School Board, our Native students were prohibited from having a traveling song played at their high school graduation ceremony. Part of my position that I'm honored to serve in is to represent our people and the band's interest in external affairs, which brings me here today, representing our graduating class at Hinckley. I'd like to point out that our Native students make up about 25% of the student population at the Hinckley-Finlayson schools, and that a drum group performed at that graduation ceremony just a year prior in 2023 without any incident. The board's decision to ban the drum song shocked our community and brought shame to the area. Native people and others locally and from across the U.S. and Canada expressed their dismay and reached out in large numbers in a show of solidarity and support for our students. For nearly 2 weeks, the students peacefully gathered almost daily in protest of the school board's decision. Through drumming, singing, and other cultural expressions, our students rallied against this discriminatory action and were joined by their parents, community members, and many others. Several students demonstrated exceptional strength and resilience and stepped up to assume leadership roles. They effectively organized impactful student-led cultural demonstrations, showcasing wisdom beyond their years. We are pleased to have one of those students with us today, Bella Eubanks, who was a 10th grade student last spring when this incident happened. She distinguished herself as a young leader with remarkable passion and poise. I'm very proud of Bella and happy that you could make it here today to provide testimony as well. There is a saying that holds great significance to me. The children are our future. That is why I declared 2025 to be the year of the child in my State of the Band address a couple of months ago. I firmly believe that investing in our children yields significant long-term benefits for all of our communities. In my work over the years as Onamia School Board, I have challenged administrators, teachers, and parents to better understand the importance and value of supporting our Native students through embracing our cultural activities to create a greater sense of belonging to our students. As I mentioned earlier, having served in the district for nearly 10 years now, I provide a unique perspective in how it works and where it does work. This is really to ensure that the children of the Mille Lacs Band are protected and have a strong sense of community and a healthy understanding of our cultural teachings. It is this duty and responsibility that I take very seriously and why I am here today to ask for your support for Senate File 1405. Miigwech.
Thank you, Mr. Wind. Next up,
Ms. Stensrud Eubanks?
Yeah. Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Questions, comments, members? Senator Makeway.
No, Mr. Chair, the bill, that copy that I have in my packet only is the first page.
We're on it.
Oh, great. Right. Thank you so much.
Yep, we caught that. Thank you. We're catching it as well.
Anim Buju Bella, Indigenous Cause Ajumug and Dunjuba Megizu Dudame. Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Isabella Stendred Eubanks, but most people call me Bella. I'm an 11th grade student at the Empower Learning Center. That's the alternative school associated with Hinckley Finlayson High School. I'm an officer of NASA, the Native American Student Association, and a backup singer to the NASA drum group. Last year, I organized and led the first silent student walkout and the peaceful protest held after school in response to the Hinckley Finlayson School Board's vote against including an honoring song at the high school graduation ceremony. The decision to ban the honoring song at graduation caused significant trauma to many Native American students in Hinckley last year. This also opened up old wounds of historic trauma and for many of our elders and other community members. The school board's decision made us students feel as if we didn't belong and were not accepted, and more importantly, that our culture was not valued by our school administrators and other peers. Following the decision to prohibit the drum at our graduation, several Native students expressed their disappointment and some even considered dropping out. More than half of the Native American students did not attend school the following day. The whole incident led to a significant decline in morale among the Native student population. Many of us felt heavily discriminated against by the school board's decision. It was as if our culture was not important enough to share during a graduation ceremony. As Native Americans, we are often in the minority and encounter discrimination, bigotry, and ignorance regularly. It was very disappointing that the school board members decided to prohibit something so significant to us in our culture, and for reasons that still remain unclear. I want it to be known by my relatives that I am fighting for the drum and for our culture. It is my hope that the next generations of Native American youth at Hinckley Public Schools and elsewhere will not have to go through the same experience that I did. I want our youth to know that I am strongly fighting this fight for them and trying my hardest to be their voice so everyone will hear. The irony in all of this is that in traveling song is also known as an honor song, and it is not just for Native Americans. It is our way of wishing everyone a safe journey to wherever they may have come from and are going. It is a way of building community with others by inviting them to join us and learn about who we are and introduce them to our beautiful culture. It is very unfortunate that the members of Hinckley Finlayson School Board failed to understand this fact, and as a result, they failed to understand our culture. This failure cut our community deeply, and we hope others who hear our story will understand why the school board's action was both discriminatory and ultimately diminishing to Native people. This is why I'm here today, to try and help correct the wrong. Miigwech to everyone for taking the time to listen to me today, and I hope you will vote yes on Senate File 1405.
Any questions or comments to the testifier? Senator Abler?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I had the privilege to meet both the testifiers, and I really appreciate that. And it didn't enter yet, but I'm trying to be a co-author on this. So I told them I was going to ask a question. And so is the Hinckley School Board going to come and testify? Probably not. They're not on the list. All right, just curious. It just seems like it's, you know, not that hard of a thing just to be respectful, especially to the different people in your school, but it just in the language, maybe Senator Kunesh or whoever, but it doesn't really say how much you could do. And I think if people get nervous about open-ended commitments, and so you're talking about doing a single song of some sort, as long as everybody knows what you're doing, then I think they'll be less concerned about it. But I don't know why they would say no, but they did. So, but I support the bill, and maybe if you just clarify what you're intending, that would be useful, but thank you.
Looking for them. A little discombobulated here, but so this is specifically, this bill specifically is for graduation ceremonies, but Senator Abler, if you think that that needs to be expanded for other notable ceremonies within the school year, we can certainly do something along that. But this was an honor song, traveling song that is really significant in a way that sends sends the message to the students, and again, not just our Indigenous students, but to all of the students, that they are on the next journey of their life. They're on to the next adventure. And so there are a number of different drum songs or performances that are not only spiritual in nature, but also have healing and well-being as part of those. So I think that, I'm not sure if that answers your question, but you know, there's a wide variety, and if everyone understands which drum song is going to be performed, then again, I don't know what the issue might be.
Oh, Mr. Chair. So I'm sometimes not good at communicating what I'm trying to say. So I think it's a great idea. It's just not clear that you could do one song or three songs or whatever at the event, So I would think if you're a school board and somebody might go, oh, we want to have a whole concert, you know, and you just, and that's all I'm saying, just to make sure that if you're asking for a single song, I think they'd be hard-pressed to say no, and I'm happy to support that. I'm just saying that you might just want to clarify that, that's all. But I think it's a, really appreciate Bella coming up and the chairman. Thank you.
And our testifier would like to make another
comment. And you do have another testifier, correct?
Yep.
Just FYI.
Oh, I do. Johnny Johnson.
So, I'm just,
I'm
that's
so
fine.
Sorry.
I'm just.
Sorry, Johnny. No.
But go ahead.
If I could, as I mentioned earlier, providing a unique perspective from sitting on the school board. So at Onamia Public Schools, which is about 45 miles away from Hinckley, back in 2015, there was some, you know, unrest within the school, right? Onamia School is about 50% Native population amongst its students. There was some unrest, right? And it was the first year that we brought the honor song to our homecoming ceremony. And it really unified the student population, right? When you first bring something new in, you're like, man, I don't know if this is gonna work. Are people gonna be respectful? I heard you mention earlier the Star-Spangled Banner, right? And initially, you always wonder what's gonna happen, right? And when we first did that, I was serving as the school board chairman at that time, and we explained it, right? Over the PA at a homecoming football game, and really about betterment of all students, right? And the reason that I say that I can offer a unique perspective is because, and Senator Kunesh mentioned this earlier, that our Native population underperforms other groups, right? So the state graduation rate, I just looked at it before coming in here, within the last 5 years, averages about 83%. So in 2019, for Native students, it was 56%. 2020, it was 58%. 2021, 59%, which is substantially lower than the 83% of the rest of the population in Minnesota, right? The unique perspective to this is Onamia's graduation rate in comparison to the rest of the state. So in 2019, I believe that it's because our students feel like they belong. I believe that our students believe that people there within the schools, whether it be a 5-minute song once or twice a year, really truly believe about who they are as people and really value what that is. So just 3 years here quick, and I don't mean to belabor the conversation. In 2019, Onamia High School, the state average for Native students was 56%. At Onamia High School, it was 73% that year. In 2020, the state average was 58% for Natives. Onamia High School hit 100% that year, which is unheard of. 2021, the state was at 59%. We didn't have a sample, the sample size was too small. But in 2022, the state average for all Natives was 61%, with Onamia High School performing at 71%. My point is that if we can make our families and communities feel like they belong, they're gonna do better. And this just shows, right? So to some people, it's just a song, or what has been classified in the Hinckley scenario is another extracurricular activity. And the sad part is that our students and our Native population that are there, that make up 25% of that school, really feel like their culture and their identity doesn't matter to the school. And in this scenario, like the bill shows, you know, if a parent committee were to ask, well, a parent committee, there's a line there that says, I believe it's 20 Native students that would attend that school. That requires a parent committee under Minnesota Department of Education. That means that there's a substantial amount of students already attending there. And the results speak for themselves. I appreciate your time, Miigwech.
I just, before the student leaves, thank you for coming down. Thank you for taking time off from school to come down here and have this amazing experience testifying before a Senate Ed Policy Committee. And I don't know what you're missing in school today, but I'm sure you may be learning a little bit more today. And thank you for, this is the teacher in me applauding your civil disobedience efforts and the walkout. So thank you for that as well. And your last speak, testifier, Senator Kunish?
No, we don't have another testifier for this one.
Okay. Final comments or?
Just, Mr. Chair and members, I hope that we can move this on and put it into legislation because, as you and I know, our focus is on the children. And if we can find these kind of ways, these simple ways to addressing the whole child, no matter Indigenous or not, that this is one way to do it. So, Wopi Latanka.
We'll be laying the bill over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Senator Kunish, 1404.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I have two amendments.
And members, you'll be getting new copies of the bill that because the two bills today got cut off somehow in the printing process. Senator Kunish, do you wish to introduce the A2 and A3 amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This the A2 amendment just makes some changes to the original bill requesting a letter of consent from the Indian, the tribal nations, and the process for which to apply for exemption.
And three.
The A3, this is just a really simple amendment. In the original bill, it asks for reports to be sent, the report from the schools around any action around American Indian mascots be sent to the legislative committees having jurisdiction over kindergarten through grade 12 education policy, and then we're adding an education finance to that so that both of our committees receive those reports.
Thank you. All those in favor of the A2 amendment say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. All those in favor of the A3, the author's A3 amendment say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Begin your testimony, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, members, for years, there has been a call to every institution that have Native-themed sport, team names, mascots, symbols, and gestures to immediately end their use and to work to understand the importance of Native nations and the people to our country and our history and our country's future as well. In 2024, the Minnesota legislature passed a bill that prohibits public schools from using American Indian mascots, symbols, or images, and that was to begin September 1st, 2026. The bill applies to nicknames and logos, letterheads, and team names. We know that historically there have been negative impacts to the use of these images and references. The evidence of this harm for mascot has been demonstrated throughout history by the high disparities in the rates of violence against Native people, the poor statistics about health and welfare of Native people, including the highest rates of suicide for Native youth. And in addition, the studies have the effect of studies about the effect of mascots on Native youth have been specifically identified as low self-esteem, low community worth, increased negative feelings of stress and depression as the negative psychological effects of Native mascots wreak on the well-being of Native youth. So something so simple and easy as changing a mascot can result in tremendous healing and support and kindness and a little bit of freedom for all of us. So what this bill does, it prohibits the depiction or references to American Indian tribes, individual customs or traditions as we have in the past. It also prohibited symbols such as feathers, spears, tomahawks, and indigenous clothing. But we did carve out an exemption. The exemption that public schools located within the reservation of a federally recognized tribal nation in Minnesota, where there are 95% of students, meet the definition of American Indian students. So that was one exemption. But there is also the opportunity for schools to obtain an exemption from the nearest tribal nation, or through the 11 federally recognized tribal nations in the state through the Tribal Nations Education Committee. So I have heard from a lot of schools and organizations about the complexities of renaming their mascots. Some have begun that process, some have been reluctant to do so, and some have gone through the exemption process. So this bill changes the exemption process to simply requesting a letter of consent from the nearest tribal nation to the school district. And if more than one nation is near the school district, all the tribal nations must consent in writing to the use of an American Indian mascot. And those public schools who request must get the consent from the tribal nation. If it is denied, then they must change their mascot and their depictions. This bill also allows for after July 1st, 2023, the commissioner must provide a public school with funding requests within 30 days of approving the school's work plan and budget, and that the public school can apply to the commissioner for mascot replacement assistance. The commissioner then has to establish a process for applying for those dollars. And it must include a work plan and budget. It can't be within, they can't begin it until there is approval. And the commissioner needs to release those funds within 30 days after the approved plan. And that is my bill. And I do have three testifiers here today.
Okay, let's start with the testifiers.
Do you want to begin?
Yeah. Identify yourself and make sure you sign in on the sheet up there when you're done. Thank you, and welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair and committee, my name is Johnny Johnson. Wiohanta Sampa Washte. Good afternoon. My name is Johnny Johnson, and I'm here before you to testify to this committee. My name again is Johnny Johnson, former tribal president of Prairie Island and now the education director for our community. Education of our tribal students and adults is of our top priority. We spend a lot of time on resources for them, with a lot of work and parent involvement. and I repeat, parent involvement. We now have gotten our graduation rate to over 97%. Now for Senate File 1404. We want to recognize Senator Kunesh for all her work, good work on this issue. We generally support prohibiting offensive mascots, but we believe the process around the exemption can be improved. Many of our tribal members attend or attended Red Wing Public Schools. In fact, all four of my children graduated from Red Wing Public Schools. While we have and continue to have struggles, we have made tremendous progress in our relationship with the Red Wing Public Schools. We worked over the years to cultivate a good relationship with Red Wing School District. As a result, we have liaisons and tutors in the schools for our kids for extra help. Red Wing Schools has offered Dakota language, and I'm happy to report that that class has been very successful, not only for our membership, but for others that want to take the class. In 2023, the legislation passed a ban on school logos and or mascots that use the image or cultural depiction of Native Americans unless the school district applies for an exemption. The exemption is only granted if no tribe in Minnesota objects and the Tribal Nations Education Committee, TNAC, don't object also. The Red Wing School District uses the Red Feather logo, and the mascot is the Wingers. Prairie Island supports both the logo and the mascot as they reflect aspects of our culture and tradition. Additionally, Red Wing and the Red Wing Public School District are named after a Dakota ancestor, Chief Hukpahu Duta. As many of you know, Red Wing. Both were submitted for an exemption, which we supported and communicated our support. But the exemptions were not granted due to one tribe voting no. In contrast, Red Lake supported the exemption for War Road Warriors, and the exemption was approved. We support that exemption due to the relationship that exists between Red Lake and War Road. Red Wing Public Schools now estimate that it will cost over $2 million to replace logos and mascots under the current law. We believe that the tribe closest, and again, we believe the tribe closest to the school districts should be the ones deciding whether these are offensive items, especially where the logo and the mascots are directly tied to that community such as ours. For these reasons, we fully support Senate File 1404, and I want to say Wopida Tanka for speaking in front of you today, and if you have any questions, please feel free to ask.
Wopida. Thank you for your testimony. Any members, any questions or comments? Next testifier.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Brandon Elkire. I am the Legislative Director for the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. I want to say thank you for allowing me to speak and voice our support for Senate File 1404, also known as the Mascot Bill. So the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council mission is to protect the sovereignty of the 11 tribal nations and ensure that the well-being of American Indian citizens throughout the state of Minnesota. As part of our mission, we're here to testify and support Senate File 1404 as this bill balances the interests of tribal nations and their ability to build relationships with the surrounding communities. At the core of tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the ability to establish working relationships between tribal nations and the surrounding community in which they reside. In this instance, the relationship between the tribal nation and the school district for the purpose of a mutual agreement on the use of mascots. We know that the working relationship between tribal nations and the surrounding community produces several amazing things when there's a partnership built: economic investments, job creation, infrastructure, to name a few. But only with mutual respect, relationship building, and trust factors. The use of Native American mascots perpetuates harmful stereotypes that does not honor Indigenous communities, but rather reduces them to caricatures. Studies from organizations, as Senator Kunesh pointed out, like the American Psychological Association, show that representation negatively impacts self-esteem of the youth. The negative impact that contributes to the vast educational disparities, like graduation rates, and mental health disparities, like Native American suicide. While some believe mascots are honoring Indigenous people, many Native American leaders and organizations have spoke out against them. True honor comes from listening to Indigenous voices, respecting their perspectives, and making meaningful changes, or engaging in partnerships with tribal nations for the use. The passing of the mascot bill in 2023 also was a historic step in building a better partnership between the state of Minnesota and the 11 tribal nations. The removal of the imagery that would characterize Native American people in disparaging ways or utilization of the culture for a sports team is a clear message from the state to show that the state values these partnerships built and respects tribal nations. A partnership that has many mutual benefits that impact not just Minnesota, but Minnesotans. Keep in mind, tribal nations, tribal citizens are also Minnesota citizens. They're your neighbors, they're your friends, they're your coworkers. Most importantly, these citizens are part of our everyday societal ether. Their kids attend the schools, you're with your kids. Their citizens might be your coworkers. They shop at the same grocery stores, and they share the eagerness to keep Minnesota a wonderful place to live. We, as Minnesotans, and you, as our policymakers, have the power to protect our neighbors, our citizens, and our friends from being mischaracterized or harmed by these mascots. And you did back in 2023. So thank you. Today's legislation of SF 1404 is merely a correction of some of the language that recognizes these relationships with tribal nations that tribal nations have built with the schools and the use of the mascots. Not all mascots are deemed terrible. The point of the legislation is to engage and encourage school districts to work with their tribal partners and determine the best outcome. I urge you to vote yes on this legislation. Thank you.
Members?
Wait, before you leave, can you read that quote again from your testimony where you said something to the effect about true honor?
Oh, sure.
If you can find it.
True honor comes from listening to Indigenous voices, respecting their perspectives, and making meaningful changes, or engaging in partnerships with tribal nations for the use.
Thanks for sharing that again. Last testifier.
I just said my name's Distant Thunder, and I'm a citizen of Ho-Chunk Nation. My taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. I taught 27 years in St. Paul Public School District. I was initiated the first all-Native homeroom in St. Paul, and so I just wanted to come here and talk a little bit and remind people about I remind you how mascots do affect our Native American students. Formerly, I haven't been in this classroom for 3 years. I'm a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation in District 4, which is everywhere but Wisconsin. So I live here in the Twin Cities. And we have over 500 citizens living in the state, over 1,000 Winnebago and Ho-Chunk. So I believe it's important that, you know, this bill is passed. And it was really brought up earlier really well about talking to Native nations, asking their opinion, being able to reach out and work together is so important, because as Native Americans, we're not used to that. We're used to being told what to do and how to do. So I think that's very important that this bill is very important. Also want to give a shout out to State Senator Mary Kunish too for all the work that she's done for our Native community. And there's also Dr. Henton that's in the building here. She was my former principal years ago, and just wanted to give her a shout out too, that she's still working for our children. Very important. I just want to remind everyone too a little bit about why mascots are important, and the use of Indian mascots have had a significant negative effect on my American Indian students, impacting their mental health, self-esteem, and sense of belonging. Studies firsthand, experience shown that the mascots perpetuate harmful stereotypes, contribute to discrimination, and create hostile learning environment. Here are some of the ways that my students were affected. You know, low self-esteem, we talked about in St. Paul when I was there, that 56, I was on the parent committee, that 56% of the Native American students were graduating on time in St. Paul. If there was a flip of the average to the Native Americans, it would be in the news every day that we're failing our students. So there's so much harm and self-esteem identity that comes with things like mascots. You know, we watch a football game from Kansas City, and you can hear in the background people still doing the Indian chop and singing. The networks aren't showing that anymore, but that's still with the Atlanta baseball team. That affects our students. That affects their well-being. It brings on rationalization of bullying. I know in my years in school, people pulled on people's hair. What gives them the right to come up and touch people's hair? So those are part of the psychological and emotional stress. You know, there's a big negative impact, too, on school impact. Where students don't feel like they belong, so they don't participate. So again, I'm really for this bill, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I just want to remind everybody how important it is to talk about these things, how important it is to put this in the forefront when it comes to our children, our future, and especially our Native American children. So I'm really in support of this, because it really reaches out to the neighboring tribe to give their opinion on how this should move forward. And there's 11 tribes here, and I don't think they agree on anything, so that'd probably be good. Thank you. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of. But yeah, so you know, again, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I just want to remind everybody how significant these mascots have affected us over hundreds of years. And, you know, there's some school districts that are getting rid of them, and some that are slow about it. So it's important. And again, a big peeny geegee, thank you for having me come here and testify.
Members, Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. And thank you to everybody who's contributed to the conversation today. I think it's reminiscent of a conversation or conversations we had a couple years ago when we were looking at this issue in particular. And so I appreciate you coming forward with especially you, Mr. Johnson. I think your testimony, your real-world example is very compelling. Some of the conversations we had years ago were, well, what if the district and that local tribe have such a strong relationship that that tribe is very, very proud of the fact that the district is celebrating their culture, the heritage, and those students that are part of that community. And we didn't want to have happen exactly what happened to you, where some other tribe, not local to that area or part of that community, was going to potentially prevent you, or has in this instance prevented your school district from getting that exemption. And so I hope this, I think someone described it as a correction to the law, passes so that we don't, so that other tribes don't find themselves in similar situations, kind of like we thought might happen. And so thank you for sharing what you shared. It was a very common sense approach, I think. That being said, I think when you look at this bill in its entirety, Mr. Chair, one thing I would hope were to happen is, I know there's a blank in here for an appropriation at some point, and I know we don't have targets, and I know that the state's looking at a deficit in the not-too-distant future. My hope would be that whether or not there are funds available for an appropriation in this bill, I still hope that the exemption portion passes, because that's not tied necessarily to any appropriations or any state funding. So whether that's in a larger omnibus bill or what have you, if there's appropriations, great, let's have the whole bill pass. If there's not, let's still make sure that we prioritize the exemption piece of this law that's being proposed and have it become law by the end of this session. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Hochschild?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I hope I'm not jumping the line. I just had some comments, if that's okay. Great. Well, thank you so much, Senator Kunesh, for bringing this bill. I wanted to talk a little bit about an experience I had as a student at the University of North Dakota, which has a fairly renowned or a previous tribal name, Fighting Sioux. And I was elected the student body vice president there when we were debating that issue. And we had extensive conversations with tribal students, with the tribes in North Dakota, to seek approval for that logo. And it wasn't given. And I think rightfully so, because some of you may not know that the Sioux name was given by the French. And it was a derogatory term for those tribes in North Dakota. And so when I was leading the student body, despite immense opposition and a lot of controversy, we passed a resolution in the student body to remove the logo, and there was a lot of debate on campus. We testified before the legislature in North Dakota. I bring all this up to say that these issues have been going on for a long time, and we've made a lot of strides to remove these logos that I think are derogatory and negative for our tribal members. But it was an experience that I went through a lot of learning myself in listening to tribal members as well as my own student body to understand where everybody was at. But I also want to talk about an experience I had in Washington, D.C. I went to a game from the former, now they're, I believe, the Commanders, but they had a tribal name before that. And it was such a terrible experience at that game, because to this day, this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, they were still using the team, the team song, which talked about scalping. And I remember sitting there with my wife thinking, this is modern day America with a name that is explicitly derogatory, and there are tens of thousands of people in this stadium talking about scalping. Luckily, that logo was also changed. I say these examples just because I think it's really important to showcase how terrible some of these logos have been for tribal people. And making sure that we're sort of making these changes are really critical. And I'll just lastly talk about an experience in my own district as it relates to this bill. The Grand Rapids School District is a very rural district that has had challenges with changing their logo and some of the experiences that we're trying to fix with this bill. And I think they are in the right place. They want to make changes to their bill that do not show derogatory use of logos or names for tribal members, but they are concerned about the costs and about getting approval from the nearby tribes for that change. So I think we're making the right move here to listen to local tribes on the impacts of tribal logos, but also providing possible funding and support for the school district to make the necessary change, because I think it's the right thing to do. So, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to share some of those experiences that I've had, and I really hope that we move forward with this bill, because I think it'll help a lot. Thanks so much.
Senator Abler.
Well, thank you. I really didn't mean to talk all day, but I appreciate this bill, and I learned something a lot of days I'm here, and I, you know, for the individuals who've experienced, you know, the pain of whatever happened, I will predict a good number of the people just had no idea. They're just ignorant. Touching your hair and all that, I don't know where that even, how that's even okay. But I like where you're going with this. I think it's an improvement. Senator Kunesh, at this room, I would like to add on to this one as well. I think the more you can bring people together and have appreciation, understanding, I think this bill moves that direction. And I hope that someday you can just, this will be a lore. Like, hey, remember back when we didn't have to worry about this, when we just started looking at each other as just each other. So thank you.
Senator May Quaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Kunesh, I love your bill, and I'm really glad that you brought it forward. This is a really random question. It's very logistical. Are there any, there's no possibility that, like, there's going to be two different tribes equidistant from a district, and there will be competition over who's closest? I admit I don't know the geography and then schools with certain mascots and logos that well.
There isn't.
Not really.
No. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator May Quaid. No, I looked at the map specifically for that reason, okay, and I wasn't able to identify one that was closer to the next.
That wasn't random. That was a good one.
Well, I just want to thank the testifiers and Senator Kunesh for the last few years of bringing bills such as this forward. And you know, I just want to piggyback off what Senator Hochschild said. And, you know, when I was a kid growing up and John Wayne was almost sainthood status, and we used phrases like Custer's last stand and the Sioux uprising, and now I hope we refer to it as the Dakota War and the U.S.-Dakota War. And Custer's last stand has been replaced with the Battle of Wounded Knee, and we're constantly making strides to do the right thing in American history, and so that kids don't feel left out and everybody's included in this great tapestry of America. And so thank you. I just also want to thank you, Senator Kunesh, for a lot of things we do here aren't perfect. When we pass them, our intent and our ideals are noble, but sometimes the stakeholders come forward and say there's a tweak or two that we would appreciate. And so thank you for listening to the school districts and the tribal partners to get this bill straight. So any final comments before we vote to move it on to Ed Finance?
Yes, I really appreciate you all listening and listening intently, because a number of you represent Indian country here in Minnesota, whether you are in greater Minnesota, southern Minnesota, western Minnesota, or in the urban core. You all have Native kids in your schools, and they have been invisible forever and ever and ever, with very few rights, very few people listening and learning from them. And yes, indeed, there are times that we bring legislation forward where we have to go back and make some adjustments. We realize that maybe this isn't going to work in the way that we did, or the way we imagined it is not going to work. And so I appreciate you giving us this opportunity to revisit this. But again, it's an opportunity for learning. I'm sure there are many people here that don't understand the whole issue around mascot or the value or how important it is, drumming is. Just 2 years ago, we had to come to the legislature to allow our kids to wear their sacred tobacco patches around their necks, or to, and St. Paul was a leader in this, and you were part of that, allowing students to smudge in schools. There are these little things that make a huge, huge difference, not just to our students, but to our community and to our Indigenous tribal people across the state. And I appreciate you giving us the time to talk about these, and I hope you all learned a little bit something more today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
We have Robert Pilot would like to make one more comment.
It made me think of in the Twin Cities alone, there's over 78,000 Native Americans in 150 different tribes are recognized. Just to let you know, the vast numbers that we do have here in the Twin Cities, especially.
Yep.
Thank you again.
Thank you again, Senator Kunesh. We're recommending that this bill, as amended with A2 and A3 amendments, be referred to your committee, Ed Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. We'll see the bill in Ed Finance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Audience members, thanks for being here today. Sorry about the late start. Wednesday we'll be meeting. I'm really looking forward. The plan is we're going to have about a 30-minute presentation dealing with special education and the difference between federal funding and state funding on special education, so we can kind of wrap our heads around that. And then we have a couple bills we're working on bringing forward on that Wednesday as well. So with that said, thanks for being here today. Members, thanks for being here, and we are adjourned.